Welcome back to the Chasing Tome podcast. I am your host, for lack of a better word, Brian Wampler. And today my host is, again, Blake Weiland, my co-host, rather. Let's jump into it. You know what the best part of iced coffee is, Blake?
The fact that I'm not drinking it.
The grounds at the bottom, it's even more caffeine.
You don't need any more caffeine, Brian.
Let's go. Let's do this.
Woo!
Ready.
Woo! Give me a Ric Flair. Woo!
Ric Flair.
Man, yeah,
I don't know who that is. I don't know. I'm unfamiliar with that term.
You don't know Ric Flair?
I know who Ric Flair is.
Oh, man. I was like, what on earth is going on right now? This doesn't even make any sense to me.
Oh, yeah.
How's it going, Brian?
It's going okay. How are you, Blake?
Pretty splendid. Pretty splendid, actually.
That's good.
Is shining. I have no sleeves, which is nice. And, you know, we're just having a good old time working on some videos and, you know, talking to people about stuff and things and, you know, a whole bunch of things that you and I want to talk about on this podcast that we can't talk about yet. Otherwise, Sweetwater will get us in trouble.
That's true. That's true. But it will be coming very shortly to, well, I know we're doing a thing. This podcast, I know your podcast is doing a thing.
Yes.
And multiple others.
Yes. It's a big, coordinated, cool pedal thing. That's all I'm willing to say at this point.
That's all we got right now, but yeah. Much fun was had by those who were involved.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. So,
but what's going on? What else is cooking? You know, we shouldn't just talk about what we can't talk about. Maybe we should talk about what we can talk about.
This is the episode that isn't an episode. The one where we just talk about things in vague terms because we can't talk about it.
That's right. Well, I wish we could tell you, but we can't. So this is the vague episode of the podcast where it's all gray and mysterious and really kind of pointless.
It's really cool and some great things that happened with it, but I can't say anymore.
That's all I can say. Yeah, yeah. That's all I can say. But, yeah, what else is new in your world?
Anything
over there?
Yeah, so what is the boy's name? I have found a new YouTube channel, best one of all time. Actually, I can't access it right now. I think his name is Michael Reeves from memory. Now, Michael Reeves, assuming that is his name, does not play guitar as far as I know. However, he's like 19 or 20 or something. And I would call him a genius in my favorite kind of ways, which is like dorky engineering stuff, right?
Okay.
So, excuse me. So Michael has a channel where he takes things and does cool things with it. And that's vague, so let me explain myself better. For example, he made a Roomba. You know what a Roomba is, right? The little disc-shaped mm-hmm. thing that goes around the house and bumps into crap and turns off half the time, right?
Yeah.
So he took one of those, using an Arduino, which is... just look it up. It's a little circuit you can program and stuff, okay?
Yeah, it's a little microcontroller is
right.
What it is.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Well, literally, but yeah, a much easier microcontroller to program things in. Anyways, so he took that and he made this Roomba. Whenever it bumps into things, it yells very loud obscenities. My wife said, because we have a Roomba here, because as I said, well, off the air, I live on a gravel road, and so everything's just always dusty. It's like cleaning is an ongoing hourly thing, right? So we have a Roomba, it's just like it's always running all the time. And it's pretty stupid for any sort of halfway smart device. It's dumb. But she sent it to me saying, this is what we need to modify ours to. You're the electronics guy. Make it happen.
You know?
So I watched it. I'd never seen his channel before, but apparently he's got like several million subscribers and a billion views. Like he's kind of a big deal in that circle, right? But anyways, so that, of course, what would you expect it to do? It gets me addicted to his channel. So for the past 3 days, I've been binge-watching his channel until 3 in the morning.
Oh, great. That's healthy.
That's totally healthy. Who needs sleep anyways?
Yeah, it's overrated. Overrated.
But he does all kinds of stuff. All kinds of things like that. So I'm looking at this going, that guy, like, if I wasn't into guitar gear, that would be me. Like, that would be what I would do with my time, right?
Just do dorky electronics projects and post them on YouTube.
Oh.
Which, actually, if you think about it, you still do that. It's just in a different niche.
So that's what I was going to say. So thinking about it, I'm like the analog dirt pedal version of that.
Pretty much.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but it is what it is, you know?
Let's just put it this way. There are many solos that wouldn't sound the same if it weren't for you being an analog dirt version of that.
So. That's true. That's true. Because there are no more overdrive pedals out in the world, you know?
None.
Only ours. Yeah.
None. So. Yeah. He's got a monopoly on the dirt pedal market.
I did hear a cool thing today cool to me. What's his name? Johnny Resnick, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Using an ethereal. Leaves it on all the time, apparently.
It's a good sounding pedal. I don't blame him.
I didn't know that. I mean, it's nice to know when artists use our stuff. Apparently, he just bought it. Didn't really say anything to anybody else. He just went on the site and bought it and uses it.
Well, so thanks, Johnny.
At a low setting
very nice
for
of you.
Yeah, man. At a low setting for ambience, he says. So, cool.
That is cool. I mean, it's kind of weird, right? There's, you know, I work with a few different companies, and it's surprising how much you run into that. It was just like the other day. It was just like, oh, what do you mean, Keith Urban uses that? Okay, interesting. Didn't know that. You know, it's kind of a weird, like, so, I kind of think I know a lot of these artists, they're just like us. They're like, oh, ooh, what's this pedal on Reverb? Like, I'm just going to buy it. And you would never know, you know,
right.
you wouldn't have a clue. But, you know, you put enough cool stuff out in the world, and then eventually it feels like cool people just find it. That's just what happens.
It's always exciting whenever you find someone's using your stuff and bought it because they wanted it, you know? I mean, and you know how this game works. Like, every company is sending out a pedal to John Mayer or whatever, you know? Like, that just, if you're John Mayer, you buy stuff, but you go to the mailbox and there's like a pallet full of pedals from people, right? And
right.
Amps and guitars and strings and straps and all this crap. But, you know, what's the biggest compliment is whenever, like, John Mayer buys your stuff and doesn't call you to gloat about it. You know, he just buys it and uses it. That's what's cool. And I say John Mayer, that's an arbitrary example. Insert your favorite guitarist there.
Right. So, which, speaking of John Mayer, did you see that him and Chris Stapleton played together the other night?
I saw mention of it, but I didn't see it. No,
it's pretty awesome. I'm a bigger, you know, Stapleton fan than Mayer fan, but those two together, woo! That was awesome. Everybody should go look that clip up. Like, that was really cool.
Are you a fan? Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, and that's why, like, you know, as much as I like to complain about how much Nashville's changed, and we've done that ad nauseum, it's still a pretty cool place. Because things like that happen sometimes.
Yes, totally.
So,
Are you a fan of Luke Combs?
The name sounds familiar, but I don't know who that is.
He is a... If you like Stapleton, you may like Luke Combs. He's a country guy, but he's like a real country guy.
Nice.
You know, kind of like Stapleton. So I thought it might be up your alley. Since we're recording this, any of those listening might want to check that out as well. Or not. I don't know.
I know we got a lot of people listening to this. I've got some messages of people saying, you know what, you guys talk about country guitar stuff a lot, and you know what? I listen to metal. Stop talking about country.
Oh, I like metal too. It's just that you know, a lot of metal players, it seems like they're Axe FX users, you know?
A lot of them. A lot of them. a lot of the guys that I tend to listen to, for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's because I actually have no idea, but when I go to look at their rigs, they're much more in line with what I would be kind of into. I don't know. I'm not saying anything bad about Axe FX. I know it's a great platform, but you know, I got to maintain my my internet reputation for bashing on things for no reason, and so I'm going to continue to do that.
Especially when you know nothing about it, right?
Exactly. That's the best way to do it. I just see the words Axe FX and I go hold my nose and go meh. For no reason.
It sucks. It sucks. Sucks terribly. It's terrible.
Yeah, well, how do you know? Well, because it does.
Right.
Duh.
Dude, don't you get on pedal boards of doom? Huh? You don't get on pedal boards?
Yeah. Don't you? You on the gear page?
You on the gear page, dude? Yeah. If you were, you'd know that.
You know. No, actually, the Axe FX is one of the major modeling platforms I haven't messed with yet. So I couldn't begin to speak on it, but a lot of people like it, so it can't be bad, I'm sure.
It's a great tool in the toolbox, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things like that.
It's a good framing hammer in the...
It's a good framing hammer. Yeah. It's like one of those S-wings. Yeah.
How many ounces?
Yeah, about 28. 22, though, if you're looking for finish carpentry there. You know what I'm saying? 28 is more of a framing hammer. 22 is more of a finish hammer.
Yeah, I never was big into the super heavy hammers. Like, I get it, like, you're trying to be manly and you want to pound the nail in with one hit, but you start doing that all day, man. Your forearms
get
rocked.
Yeah, see, it's all about the 16-penny nails, see? You got the 16-pennies and you got the 8-pennies. If you're nailing a 2x4 into another 2x material, then the 28-ounce waffle head S-wing hammer is best for that.
It's a good hammer.
I don't know what accent that is, but I guess that would be my old boss's accent, maybe, because I used to be a framer in my early 20s, actually, believe it or not. And I do have a 28 and a 22 ounce. There you go.
When I was building the shred shed, I never did framing for a living, but I did enough, you know, here and there to be dangerous. And when I was building the shred shed, I was using a finish hammer because that's just what I had around. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm not a carpenter. I'm not going to go buy a nice hammer like for this project. And then I did, because all my friends were making fun of me for using a finish hammer. So
I could see you with the little wooden handled little 16-ounce hammer, just tappity tap, tap.
It was, but I mean, I was giving it to it. I was like, ah, smash. Like, I was probably going to break the handle on it at some point. But, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so that's a
Constructing Tone podcast.
Yeah, that's all about framing for those listening. I hope you got your 2 cents worth out of it.
So I want to get into something. I got something for you. I do. This is a topic that we talk about briefly at the end of all the Tone Mob episodes. And no, it's not the pizza question. We've already talked about that. And it's kind of a newer one. It's one that's been rolled into the fold lately at a suggestion from longtime Chasing Tone Mob, and basically every guitar podcast listener, Mr. Jason Fuzzmonger. He said I should start asking guests what their favorite Boss pedal is. And I realized... I've never talked to you about that. Do you have a favorite Boss pedal?
My favorite Boss pedal. Let me move this microphone around so I can take a gander. It's gonna make a little noise probably, but that's all right. Well, see, I like them all for different reasons. See.
Right.
You got your SD1s, you got your SD2s, you got your OD1s, you got your OD2s and OD3s, MD Mega Distortion, what is that, MD2, I think? You got your Metal Zone, everybody's got a Metal Zone, I have 9 of them. I got 5 Blues Drivers, several DS1s, I know I got some more. But that's all I see right now in the distortion area.
That's all I can see within my immediate vicinity.
Quite honestly, like, I've always been a fan of the OD-1. I don't know if it's my favorite. Yeah, actually, you know what? There's different things I like about it. I like the OD-1 because that was my first boss pedal.
Okay.
And mine is the one, the, oh, what chip is that in there?
Ah, the big one? Oh, no, that's something else. I'm sorry. I'm mixing my boss stories up in my
head. Yeah, it's the quad op amp chip. I forget which one it is now. Meaning it's like it's the big IC. It's not two smaller ICs. Okay. Right. And it's an old school one. It actually, anyways, I'm getting way off in the grass there.
You're making me want to open up my OD-1 now because I'm not sure which one I have. I know it's an older one, but I'm not sure which version it is.
So it's, I think mine's like a metal screw that's rusted. The power jack, so when I got it, when I was like 11 or whatever, someone had ripped out the power jack for whatever reason. So it doesn't have a power jack, only runs on battery.
That's weird, but okay.
It is the type, though, that whenever you engage it, the LED does not stay on. It just blinks only whenever you engage it for a second.
Is that normal?
The first boss pedals did that, yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah, the LED did not engage. It just flashed whenever you activated the switch.
Oh, wow. You learn something new every day. Just when I thought I knew all there was to know about everything and all things.
I love that circuit.
More knowledge.
There was a pedal, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago called the Clark Gainster. Big pedal, sounding great based on the OD-1. Cool circuit. SD-1 is a kind of a tube screamer thing. That's always a good pedal. Regardless, I mean, it's an inexpensive, good overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
The Tim Yarning DGTM, I think, is based around the SD-1. DS-2, I'm trying to think here. That was like a DS-1 and something a little fuzzier. That was okay. The OD-2 was cool. The SD-2 was cool. See, I don't know if I can narrow it down because I like all of them for different things. Like a DS-1 is for like a $30 overdrive, it's cool, you know.
And it's kind of got that sound. I mean, it's got some nasally things in there that aren't great, but if you set it right with the right combination of stuff, it's so unique that there's some sounds that you can't get any other way,
yep,
other than having a DS-1.
Very true. The blues drivers, the BD2s, I've always liked those, stock and modded. I mean, the biggest complaint that people have about those is they're fizzy, so you can take out some high end really easy, and that's a cool circuit.
I always liked the BD2s. I was always able, which is strange that I don't own one, but I've always found I was able to get that thing sounding pretty good if, you know, as long as I took out a little high end somewhere in my chain.
Wait a minute. You own one because I sent one to you.
A blues driver?
A modified one. It was either that or Metal Zone.
No, you didn't send. I don't have anything.
Yeah, dude. I modified it into a fuzz pedal. It was either that or a Metal Zone.
I don't have it.
Might have been a DS-1. I swear to you that I sent it to you.
I'll look around the shed, but I really don't think I have one. I do have one. I do have a modified Metal Zone from Madar Amps, which is like a crazy, it's really a fuzz pedal. It's not a Metal Zone anymore. But that's only...
Are you sure that's not mod? Because I know I modified a pedal and one of those boss pedals into a fuzz pedal and sent it directly to you. Because I'm like, here's a guy that knows his fuzz. This is a guy that appreciates square wave clipping. You know?
Well, you know what? Now I'm starting to... I'm pretty sure that I don't have it, but at the same time...
Oh, well, you may not have it. I mean, you might have had it, but Reverb probably took over it at some point and sold it to somebody else.
Yeah, that's me. I'm always just selling gear, you know? I'm big on just selling things. I hate holding on to stuff for very long at all.
Me too. Really not a thing I'm into. That's why I have 6 blues drivers.
I will say this is kind of off topic, but we were arguing about whose room, whose like shred shed office area was messier, and upon examination we discovered that they are both equally messy, is what we decided.
Totally. I have a lateral organizational system is what I call that, which mm-hmm. basically means I just scatter crap all over the floor.
It's really what I have a similar situation.
Yeah, I probably should actually go vertically like most normal people. But no. Instead, I choose to make a path to my desk from the door, and everything else is covered with crap. Just not really any one certain thing. Like right now, I'm looking at a pedal board full of pedals, a microphone, a tape measure, a Tumnus, a Boss Fender Reverb pedal, tools, four amps, nope, five, six amps, a sweeper, a couple microphone stands. I could keep going. You see what I'm going here? There's really no organizational point to it. It's just more like, I'm done with this now. I think I'll just set it here for later.
That's right. And I'll clean it up, maybe.
Right. This later never comes. Just never comes. Well, I mean, later does come, but not whenever it refers to, you know, me and cleaning up my work area.
Mine does come because inevitably I'll tell somebody, I'll be like, yeah, Andy, why don't you come on over and play some pedals? And then he'll be like, all right, I'll be right over tomorrow morning at this time. And then I'll look around me and go, oh no, he can't see the way I live. I can't let Andy Martin see that I live this way. And I have to do a mad dash and make it all presentable. And then he shows up, he's like, oh yeah, this is a nice place. I'm like, yeah, you should have been here yesterday. Sure wasn't.
You know, one thing that I want to see whenever I come out to Portland, which I keep threatening, and hang out with you guys, I want to really take a very close look at his right hand whenever he picks, because it looks like he's using a pick, just by the way he plays.
Yeah, and I know how he does that. He does what we all do when we don't have a pick, when we like want to pretend that we have one. He literally just kind of hits it with his thumb. In the same way that you would if you had a pick, you just move your hand closer to the strings. It's crazy. Except when I do it, it sounds like bleh.
Right.
And when he does it, it's like bleh.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I mean.
Like it. I don't get it.
Yeah, it seems highly impossible for that to happen, you know?
It's like his thumb is made out of Delrin somehow.
What is Delrin, and what does he have to do with it?
Delrin is the material that a lot of picks are made out of. It's, I believe, I don't want to, now Dunlop, don't sue me for this, because I don't know if this is entirely accurate. I believe it's the base material that, like, the Tortex stuff is, I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. It's a very common pick material. That's what I'm getting at. It's not like celluloid or anything like that.
Gotcha.
It's common.
Well, my picks don't say what they're made out of. They just say Max Grip. USA.
Max Grip, baby. You don't want to drop that thing.
1.0s from Dunlop. They are, it's my favorites.
It's a little thin for me. I get some 2.0 gaiters that I like around here.
Too thick. Too thick. That's like using a quarter. And
yeah, I love it.
I mean, I get it for playing like really heavy stuff. I totally get it. But for the kind of stuff that I do, I need something with a little more... Little less, what's the word I'm trying to, I don't want to say touch response because it's a freaking pick, you know?
Well, it's a little more flex. It flexes
just,
yeah, a little
bit. Just a, you know, something that, a little more feeling in it. Something with a little more emotion to it, you know? Sort of a tweedy sound, yet brown, you know? Sort of woody, yet transparent.
But with a lot of girth.
But with a lot of girth. Mm-hmm. But a chirpy top end. And warmth.
And kind of woolly, but also transparent.
Right. It's got to have that chirp on the top end, though.
And just like a DS1.
Just like a DS1. So, yeah. I mean, I I love a lot of the Boss pedals. I'm surprised that more people haven't came out with, I mean, I know there are clones like HM2s and DS1s and SD1s and stuff, but they had and have so many great overdrives. I'm surprised more people haven't cloned them. You know, like, I've never seen an SD2 clone. Or an OD2 I actually like better than the SD2. But I've never seen one of those clones. The OD3 is great, too, by the way. I didn't say much about the OD3. Fantastic overdrive.
I don't even know what the OD3 looks like in my head. What's the controls on that thing?
It's volume, tone, and gain. But it's like the SD one is yellow. The OD3 is a little more school bus orange, sort of. Totally yeah. different. Completely different circuit, though. Totally different circuit. And a completely unique circuit. So it's not like, I mean, it's still using op amps and FETs and crap. So we're not, no one's like reinventing the wheel that much. Like we're still using transistors the way they're supposed to be used, right? But they're arranged in such a way that I haven't seen anything else like it on the market. Surprised there's not clones of that somewhere.
That's very interesting. Very, and now there probably will be. Great job.
Little tidbit of information for you. I just recalled this. One of the first pedals I modified for Brad Paisley was an OD3.
Yeah. Well, yes, look sir. At that.
Yeah.
Look at that. A little more music history just dropped into your ears.
I just recalled that. Mm-hmm. In fact, in one of those old self-published books that I did, modification books, I think I had a Paisley mod for the OD3. Which would have been the modification.
Yeah, yeah, I do remember reading about that.
Yep,
I don't actually own that book because I didn't want to pay $700 for it. But.
Yeah, don't buy the book for $700. I mean, you could go to Amazon and buy it for whatever it's selling for right now. They basically set the price, but yeah, you could. Yeah. It's there. It's possible.
It's there. It's a thing that exists if you are so inclined.
But yeah,
You're not going to settle on what your favorite boss pedal is. You can't give me just one. Like, dude, if you had to, you had to have one boss pedal on your board.
Like asking me if I prefer hot coffee or iced coffee. It's damn near impossible here. It really depends on the time of day and, what mood I'm in. I guess, keep in mind, my mood changes continuously. If you said, Brian, you have to pick one right now, OD3 right now. If you ask me in 5 minutes, it'll probably be different. But right now, it's OD3.
Okay. Now you're going to make me go buy an OD3. You realize this, right?
And just to backtrack just a little bit, when you first asked me the question, it was OD1. So already in that point of time, it's already changed. Seriously.
Well, I know what the OD1's all about, and I do think that's a cool pedal. I personally like the OD1 for goosing other dirt pedals. I don't necessarily love how it sounds by itself, but... Well,
right to be wrong. It's allowed.
I mean, just for my style. I usually play with a lot more gain.
Yeah, I get
And the OD1, I find, tightens up things sort of the way a Tube Screamer does, but in a different frequency range that I kind of like.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a really cool pedal. I think it's a lot of fun, but yeah, it gives you that extra oomph and it has more of a low mid emphasis.
Yep.
I'm starting to like become a little bit of a meme. I talk about low mids and like different ranges of mids a lot, but that's because the term mids is so nebulous. Everyone thinks mids, they think Tube Screamer.
Ooh,
that's not what this sounds like.
That's a good word. I like that. If only I should call a pedal nebulous.
That's a pretty good name. It might already be taken. You should check before this episode drops.
Nah. Let's just run with it.
What's the worst that could happen? You could have a pedal with two names, like two different pedals with the same name. That's the worst that could happen. That just happened to me recently. But
and JHS and Electro-Harmonics. Remember, they both had crayons. Or maybe
they both have crayons.
Yeah.
That's so. That was. I remember when that came out. Everyone's like, "Oh no, what's gonna happen?"
Like,
and then it was just
oops.
It just ended up. Josh was like, "Yeah, I talked to Mike. It's fine." It didn't end up being any kind of issue at all, which was kind of funny because the internet was like, "Oh, JHS is blah. They're done for because they're making a crayon. Mike Matthews is gonna sue them." And it was like, "Yeah, we just agreed that we can just both just do our thing."
Yep.
I talked to Mike Matthews. I don't remember if I brought that up. Talked to Mike Matthews at Summer NAMM for the first time. I'd never,
oh, really?
Never spoken to him before. Yeah.
I didn't see him at Summer, but I did see him at Winter though.
He was chilling just there at his table at the EHX booth, and I just had to go up and shake his hand and say, "You know what? Thank you. Because without you, I wouldn't have a Big Muff, and I love the Big Muff, and most of my favorite bands love the Big Muff. So thank you, Mike. I appreciate it." And publicly. Thanks, Mike. I love the Big Muff. There you go.
Yeah, it's all that's right, but a, it's no not, Boss ODE1.
That's not, I was going to say, that's not a Boss pedal, though, so that's kind of off topic.
Now, you know, one thing that always fascinates me completely, not totally off topic, but 98% off topic, is how, you know, like I just joked to you about being wrong about the overdrive. It fascinates me how some people can say, guitar tones into an overdrive suck. They're terrible. They don't sound like a distorted guitar. And even when you try to explain, well, it's not like you're not really trying to make that ODE1 sound like a cranked Marshall necessarily. You know, like
no.
it's a pedal with an overdrive on it, which has its own sound itself, you know, and that's applicable to certain things. Just like mustard is not the same thing as mayonnaise, you know?
Yeah, you don't use them in the same places necessarily. Sometimes they cross over.
Right. Generally on pizza, but yeah.
That's it. This is ridiculous. You've spouted enough nonsense for one episode. I can't take any more. I just can't take it.
Is it hot in here, or is that just the caffeine talking?
That's the caffeine talking. You are way amped up. Actually, you're doing pretty good.
Good.
You remember like 4 months ago when you were so caffeinated it might as well have been cocaine?
That's how I feel right now. I'm just trying to control the tempo of how I'm speaking.
Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out.
Oh, that sounds like a song. We should make a song that says that.
No, don't do
that. And then we could call our band Bush.
Oh, that's a good idea. I don't think that's ever been done before.
Nope. Original idea right there. I call
patent it. Patent pending.
And then they
just
can
like
use
the Nebulous, whatever.
We'll use a pedal called the Nebulous by Wampler.
Mm-hmm. By Wampler.
Wampler. Yep.
Wampler. Wampler Sausage Company.
That's right.
Have you ever thought about switching gears and just going hard into the meat industry? Because I've seen a couple packs of sausage at the local supermarket with your name on it, literally.
If I had to guess, if we transitioned into the sausage and processed meats area, you know, mm-hmm. I think I would guess that we'd get the hell suit out of us. Yeah, probably so.
I mean, probably. There's a good chance. Or maybe they'll want to join forces because of your wonderful YouTube channel and podcast that you have. They want to team up.
That's exactly what they do. They'd see my YouTube channel and be like, oh, no need to worry about this guy. He's going to destroy himself as it is.
We'll just let him just burn
just,
out his own
Just let
his
him
own
burn.
Fuel. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This looks like a guy that didn't look like he was planning on being in business for himself.
This is a guy that pretty much fell into the pedal business. He'll be mm-hmm. he'll be fine. He's not going anywhere. yeah.
Oh,
so,
man. Mm-hmm. Fun mm-hmm. stuff. Yep. Fun stuff on this episode.
You know what this episode needs? More coffee.
What's that? No,
more
you don't need
coffee.
Any more coffee. Stop it. Don't do this. Don't do this to yourself and the audience. They've had too much.
Literally sweating here. Okay.
I don't know what part of this is appealing or why anyone would do that to themselves. Can you explain this to me a little bit better?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's like I almost dropped a Michael Reeves quote, but I'm not going to do that because it's offensive, and I'm not offensive.
Ooh.
If I was the Michael Reeves YouTuber, I would say it's almost like doing cocaine, but you know, cocaine is a little better for you, or something to that effect.
I don't really know, but I did watch Scarface once, and I'm gonna say coffee might be the better thing to stick with. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, that would be my my guess. Yep.
Yeah.
So, Boss pedal, what's your favorite Boss pedal?
Oh, we're going to ask me the question?
Yeah, you asked me the question. I rambled on for 15 minutes. What's yours?
Well, my favorite Boss pedal is probably, I really do like the ODE1. I think that's a cool pedal. The one the Boss pedal I play the most is probably the BF2. I love BF2.
That's not a dirt pedal. I thought you said dirt pedals.
No, just pedals.
I thought you said dirt pedals. I was picking from all the dirt pedals.
I just figured that was because you're Brian Wampler. No, I just said Boss pedal.
Well, that's not fair. Okay. That's not fair at all, you know?
I didn't realize you thought we were just going dirt pedals.
I didn't even mention the DD2, DD3, DD5, DD500, DD200. I didn't mention any of that stuff.
The RV5. Oh, I love the RV5.
RV6, good. Baby. Got one coming to me right now.
So good.
Didn't show up today, which I'm a little irritated about because it was supposed to be here. So whoever sold that to me on Reverb, you dropped the ball, dude.
Yeah, hurry up. Oh, you mean on tonemob.com/Reverb.
Right. Oh, yeah, you, Mr. I've got a Reverb affiliate account. Okay. This episode sponsored by tonemob.com/Reverb. Go there now and get 15% off or whatever.
No, you'll get 0% off, but it will give me money. So that's cool.
Oh, you can get 15% off if you can talk the person out of, you know, the 15%. How about that?
That's true, but I don't want to be involved. I don't want...
I didn't say that. I said if you go to tonemob.com/reverb, you can get... It's possible to get 15% off. I didn't say that you're giving it to them. I said it's possible, which means all you have to do is contact the seller and say, will you take 15% less? And if they say yes, then you get 15% off.
You're right. You're right. You know, I didn't think of it that way. I like the way you put it. That's a much better way to operate. Thank you.
I'm gonna start using that for everything.
I gotta go with the flanger. I really like the flanger. It sounds so good. It's really easy to dial in. I love using it with like heavy fuzz and just making things go, it's a great sounding, great looking pedal. So
you said BF2, right?
Yeah, the BF2. Now, if you want to go modern, and I haven't got to play with this yet, but they showed me this at Summer NAMM, and it blew my mind. The new EQ pedal they have is so cool, Brian. It is so cool.
Like, is that the EQ 500 or something like that?
It's the 200 series?
Yeah. 200, okay.
Yeah. That thing, I don't even remember everything it does, but like you can use it like a normal EQ pedal, of course, and it's programmable, so you can have a bunch of presets and stuff. But what I thought was so cool is you can use it like a sweepable filter. So you can like plug like an expression into it, if I remember correctly. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn because this was at NAMM. But and you can like use it as a filter and like select all these ranges like a programmable filter almost. I was like, oh, that's so much cooler than just a regular EQ pedal. Honestly, I've got to get one. It looks so much fun.
See, I'm curious. If my ears start ringing just out of the blue, is that a problem? Yeah.
I mean, it's not a good sign.
Just curious if that was a side effect. Okay, continue on. What about the BF2 Waza?
I haven't played the Waza. I played the Waza Metal Zone, though. I love the Waza Metal Zone. It's easier to dial in a good heavy metal tone with it than it is the original version for me. I thought they did a good job with it. Even though it seems kind of silly because it's the one that everybody makes fun of. Oh, the Metal Zone, blah, blah, blah. But,
yeah, the Metal Zone, blah, blah, blah. But they sold like 40,000 billion of them. That's not even an actual number, but if it was,
it is now.
Yeah. That like it's like the most sold high gain distortion ever.
You know? It might be. It's not. It can't. It's got to be one of the most sold pedals. End of story. Right.
I mean, you got the Big Muff. You know, which everyone freaking has a Big Muff. The SD1. Everyone's had an SD1 at one time. You know what? I mean, like, they got several staples that just everyone's had one. The DS1. Do you know someone that hasn't had a DS1? I don't.
I don't know anybody that is into guitar pedals that... Oh, I take it back. I know one guy that may have not had an SD1 or DS1, excuse me. But I don't know that for a fact. I'll text him later, and actually he's supposed to come over today. I'll ask him if he's ever owned a DS1.
We need to start a GoFundMe for him if he didn't.
No, you don't.
He needs a DS1.
No, he can afford a DS1. He just has not owned one, to my knowledge.
Maybe you should buy him one from tonemob.com/reverb. Get your 15% off, and then, you know, invoice him for the cost of it.
Okay, that's a good idea. Thomas, you're getting a bill. It's coming for you. Just wait for it. I'm just kidding. I don't know where we are right now. What are we doing?
Well, we're about 38 minutes into this, I think.
Oh, we are, aren't we? Wow.
I believe we are.
Funny enough, there was actually a decent amount of gear talk in this once you got past the hammers.
Those 28-ounce and 22-ounce. I'm telling you, waffle heads. Waffle heads the way to go if you're framing.
Oh, yeah, just you got to have the waffle head, mm-hmm. for sure. Yes, yeah. Makes your life way easier. Until it catches your thumb, though.
That been there, done that. Yes, it will mangle a thumb quite a bit. Yep.
Pro tip, at least for me, because I'm not as good of an aim as a professional framer, if you get a brand new hammer, you don't want to be framing with a brand new hammer. You're just looking at just tenderizing your whole arm. It's just a bad idea. You gotta knock those nubs down a little bit. You gotta find a curb and give it a light tap on the curb to bend those down a little bit, so you don't just kill yourself.
There's that, and there's also the fact that you're going to get made fun of if you show up on the job site with a brand new S-wing hammer. Is it S-wing or E-wing? I always said E-wing, but then other people told me it's S-wing, so I'm going to go with S-wing. Because I really don't know, nor do I care. But
I was going to say East Wing, but whatever. Nor do I care.
So you know what the thing you got to do, and just you know take this as the gospel because I've lived it, I've done it. If you show up on a job site with a brand new hammer, you're going to get your ass kicked. So you got to throw it down in the dirt, maybe run over it a few times, you know, rub some grease on the handle, whatever you got to do. To make it not look like you're a newbie, you know? Because no one wants to be a newbie on the framing site, and I really don't know why we're still talking about hammers.
I don't either. Nobody cares about this, Brian.
No, they really don't.
Nobody cares. They stopped listening to the hammer talk 20 minutes ago, and they missed all the pedal talk.
I wonder what percentage of people started listening to us talk about hammers and then clicked off the episode and missed the gold, missed the absolute diamond in the rough that this episode was.
I think that's the entirety of this entire podcast is mostly people just skipping around trying to figure out what on earth we're talking about.
Oh man, I know. How did I keep a podcast for so long?
I don't know. And people listen to it. That's the weird part.
So weird, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, Brian, I have to tell you, I need to get going. I need to wrap this up because I gotta go check my P.O. box, which is one of my favorite things to do because there's usually something shiny in a box in there, and I need to go see if it's in there.
I totally get it. I feel where you're coming from. I think I'll do the same thing and hope and pray that my RV6 is in there.
Oh, I hope you have a nice RV6 waiting for you, just waiting.
Me too. That would be my weekend planned right there. You know, well, not my Best weekend, luck, mostly sir. Like the an hour or so of the weekend. But anyways, all right. Thanks for listening, Blake, and to all those in the audience. Thanks for talking with me.
Okay. Don't worry, though. I wasn't listening. So goodbye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, if you don't mind and you want to buy something from Reverb, we'd really appreciate it if you went through tonemob.com/reverb. It doesn't cost you any more money. It puts a little tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of affiliate money in our pocket. And, you know, just kind of a show of appreciation. So really appreciate it if you do, because we do appreciate you. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week with a new one.